These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
The earlier part of the Parsha, as you know, deals with the Malachim that Yaakov Avinu sends towards Esau in order to determine exactly what his intentions are towards him. The Malachim return, and whatever message it is that they bear, we came to your brother, and there are 400 men with him. And the Pasuk at the beginning of the Parsha, Pasuk Ches, Vayiro Yaakov miyod vayetzer lo. And Yaakov Avinu is greatly afraid and troubled. Now, of course, there is the classic question, namely, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already promised him at the beginning of last week's Sidra, on the occasion of his setting out towards Lavan, that Ushmarani Baderech Hazeh, etc., HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him, so why is Yaakov Avinu afraid? Surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised him. I always have to mention here, at this juncture, I raised the question with the children. I said, why is Yaakov Avinu afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that he would protect him. So one of the children answered and says, yes, but that was 22 years ago. He most probably forgot. Ah, that's absolutely precious. But anyway. But from that we can't make a shear, you know what I mean? So let's have a look at the Gur Aryeh, and we'll see a very, very profound analysis. Says the Gur Aryeh, V'yesh makshim, there are those who question. And in reality, it's the question of the Gemara. Lama hayayore Yaakov? Why is Yaakov afraid? V'halo hifticho HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Has not HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, Shneemar v'hine yonochi imoch, u'shemarticho, etc., etc. V'yachshav hayom is yore? And now he's afraid? U'begemara metalich v'pelek kama debrochus v'pelek chelik de Sanhedrin, v'chein finish Rashi besomo. Chazal, and quoted by Rashi, answer, Dilokach hoyo yore, because he was afraid, Shema yigrom hachet. Maybe he has sinned in between the time when the promise was made and now, and therefore he is, as of this moment, undeserving of the fulfillment of that prophecy of Hine Onochi Imoch. So that's the answer which the Gemara gives. Umakshim. And then on that answer, there are those who ask, the Rambam and others, Umakshim alzeh, mehoda pelikama de brochus, from a different section of the Gemara brochus which reads, Kol dibur sheyotza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu letova, afilu altanai eino chozeir. The Gemara says, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a commitment to do good, even if that commitment is conditional, eino chozeir, it will never be cancelled. So therefore they ask, how do we reconcile these two statements in the Gemara? First of all, Hashem yigram achet, he was afraid lest sin might bring about the cancellation of the earlier promise. And yet, we find in another section of the Gemara that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, letova, it's eino chozeir, it's never cancelled. V'yim kein lama hoyo yorei, so if so, why was he afraid? V'yein lomar, and you cannot say to nislach lech b'chet shani, kishahu nislach lech achar ha'avtocha. You cannot say that maybe the Gemara is to be understood that there is absolutely no doubt that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the commitment for good, it will indeed be fulfilled, provided there is no sin on behalf of the Mekabel which would bring about its cancellation. You cannot say that that's what the Gemara means there. Why? The Hoyirmiya Omer Rab Lechananya Ben Azor. Because we find that the prophet Jeremiah says to Hananiah ben Azor, who was a false prophet, who was prophesying that all is going to be well and there is no need to be afraid of the onset of the enemy. And Yirmiah said to him, Shema no hanovi, you listen to me. Asher yidaber l'shalom. Hanavi asher yidaber l'shalom. If there is a prophet who gives a havtocha letova, the vodavar hanavi yivoda asher shilocho Hashem, then when that prophecy is fulfilled, you can know that he is a true prophet. And the posuk goes on to say, but if the prophecy is not fulfilled, he's not a good prophet. Is umuchach bozeh? It is quite obvious, therefore, ki hanavi asher hu letova, that if the a navi prophesies for something which is letova, e efshar sheyishtana afilu b'chet. It's obvious that it cannot be cancelled, even if they sin. Because then, why would Yirmiyahu say that if the prophecy for good is not fulfilled, it's a proof he's not a good prophet? Could very well be he is a good prophet, but the reason why it wasn't fulfilled is because the people sinned in the interim. So therefore, says the Rambam in raising this question, it is quite obvious that when the Gemara in Bracha says that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a commitment for good, it must always be fulfilled, it means even if, Shema Yigur Machet, even if there is sin in the interim. Diyim kein lo, if diyim lo chein, eichi voda bozeh, Shema Chotu. So therefore, the kasha is again, from one section of the Gemara it appears that Yaakov Avinu was afraid Shema Yigra Machit, and on the other hand, it would appear that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a prophecy, Letova, when a prophet speaks in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Letova, it can never be changed. So how do you reconcile these two? Says the Maharal, V'lo kasha mihodi Yirmiyah. And another section in Sefer Yirmiyah poses no problem to our thesis. Why? Because the pasuk there says, "Rega adaber, I speak for a moment." Al goyvi al mamlocha livnos v'lintoa v'yosah harabi einai level tishma b'koli. If that's what happens, and they do evil in my eyes, says the prophet, speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is v'nichamti al atovu asher amarti leheti voso. Then I will change my mind in regards to the good which I had intended to do to him. So how are we reconciling all of these psukim? All of these ma'amori chazal? V'nichamti. Implying that even though a prophecy was made letova, and if there is sin, v'nichamti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change his mind? So how do we make a reconciliation of all these sources? Says the Maharal, Hosom bishakhti berakodish poruchu imlibo, velo yotsumipiakodish poruchu lenovi, shame bechilufo hachzova, aval kishesholach hakodish poruchu hanovi lehinis nabos, lo yishtane, the kachti rates harambam. Says the Maharal, the Rambam answers as follows. There is a distinction to be drawn between when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a commitment to the Navi, and that commitment goes no further. It is between the two. Then, if there is a commitment letova, but not that the Navi has been told to pass it on, but it is an arrangement, it is a discussion, it is a communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Navi alone, then there is the possibility Shema Yigra Machit. That maybe, as a result of sin, that particular Haftacha will be cancelled. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi, that the Navi has then got to tell other people that something is going to happen, letova, then that can never be changed under no circumstances, even if the people will sin. And that is why Yirmiyahu said to the false prophet, you have prophesied in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to other people, letova. So therefore, if in your situation it will not be fulfilled, then all will know that you are a false prophet, because whenever the Navi is given a message to give over to other people, to a third party, and it is letova, that is something which can never be altered, and Shema Yigra Machet does not come into the question. So if you want to know, says the Rambam, why it is that Yaakov Avinu was afraid even though he had been promised, the answer is because the promise was made to him and to him alone. And that type of promise, even if it is letova, can be changed, Shema Yigra Machet, if there is sin. And Yaakov Avinu was concerned that maybe in the interim he had sinned and therefore was unworthy of what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had originally committed himself to do. says the Maharal, offering another teretz, which I consider to be a fascinating. Let's see if we can offer it as clearly as we can. Says the Maharal, I make no distinction between a prophecy which is given over to the Navi himself and a prophecy which the Navi is instructed to pass on. I make a different distinction. V'ha'ikur hu, says the Maharal, for me, the theme is ki chiluk yesh vein havtocha uvein nevuah. There is a distinction, says the Maharal, to my mind, between a matter which the Navi presents as nevuah, as a statement of information. I am privy to the divine plan, and it is my privilege to be able to communicate what is going to happen as a messenger from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is nevuah. Havtocha is where the Navi comes and presents his message not as a statement of information or having divined the plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but his specific purpose is to assure and to promise. And when it is the latter, then it can be changed, al yaday chait. But when it is a communication which is nevuah, then irrespective of what happens, that nevuah is going to take place. Because something which is being given over in order to assure an individual, ein ze nevuah, that is not considered nevuah, but havtocha. Shelo barak lehavtiach es atzadik lasos imoto. Uvedin hu shetovo lo shinui mipaas hamikaveil. And if it is given over in the nature of a havtocha, then there is absolutely no question that a promise which is given over to a person by virtue of that person's righteousness could very well be changed if the person in the interim becomes on such a level as to be undeserving of the fulfillment of that promise. Ki achar shelo hoya sorak mipnei zechus asher huftach v'yoso hamekavel efshar sheyishtaneh is v'yishtaneh ha'haftocho asher yiftiach osu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, if you want to know what is the distinction to be drawn, the distinction to be drawn is between nevuah and havtocha. If a havtocha letovo is not fulfilled, it's not an indictment of the prophet, because it was a promise made to an individual obviously deserving of such a havtocha. But if he sinned in the interim, he's no longer deserving of it. But a nevuah, which is a statement of communication of the divine plan, and is not meant to be a havtocha to anyone, and such a nevuah is letovo, then for sure, if that nevuah does not take place, that is an indictment of the prophet. So therefore, Omnam yibochein hanavi. So how can a navi be tested as to whether he's the genuine article or not? Kashelo hoya misnabela haftiach. When the navi comes along and is not presenting what he presents as a promise or as an assurance, Rakshahu omer shekach shilachol hisnabos sheyihi abiyosid lo lahaftiach. But when he comes along to say, this is how it is going to be, that's nevuah. And if it's nevuah letovah and it doesn't take place, then it's an indictment of that individual. And goes on to give us a most subtle grammatical observation which differentiates between nevuah and havtocha. Ulefikach, if you want to know what is a nevuah and what is a havtocha, I tell you, rov divrei hanevuah heim beloshon avar ki ilu kvar naasa. The majority of items of information which are presented by the Navi as nevuah, the majority of them are in the past tense, as if to say, I have been privy to information which indicates to me plans which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already set in motion on high, and which, because I know that they have been set in motion, will for sure come to pass. Therefore, I bring them to your attention in the perfect tense. Because even though on earth they are as yet in the future, But because I am privy to the divine plan, I can already see them as having been set in motion and already taking place. Kalomar, shekach nigzera hagezera letova miyes Hashem. Lo kamo ha-haftocha, shehum haftiach esawadum liyosid. V'chol haftocha hi eino rak lemekabel haftocha, v'chashe yishtane mishtane. La'afuke nevua shehu tola hadova biyatma lo v'shu mekabelet. Now look what it is in the case of a haftocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'hinei anochi imach, u'shematicha. Not I have already guarded you. U'shematicha, I am going to guard you. So the use of the future is because it is a haftocha and not a nevuah. Had it been a nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said to him, I have already protected you. No, but it's a haftocha. U'shematicha v'hashivosicha ki lo e'ezovecha. In the future tense, because it is in the nature of a haftocha. Ah, now we understand. That is what Yirmiyahu said to Hananiah. Because we'll see in a moment, Hananiah came along with statements about how all was going to be well and said them all in the past tense. And if he's saying them in the past tense, it's not a haftocha. Saying in the past tense, it's a nevuah. And if it is a nevuah letova, and it doesn't come about, it's an indictment of the Navi. What did he say? I have already broken his yoke. It's all over. Aye, it was only to happen in the future. He was the one who was saying, no, all will be well. There's no need to get panicky. But he says, Shavarti, ki ilu kvar nasa, v'yein ze haftocha. It wasn't meant to be a haftocha, which, if it wouldn't come about, would be no indictment of the Navi. It was meant als nevuah. That's why the perfect tense was used. Uvadovar hazeh omalo Yirmiyahu. That is why, in that regard, Yirmiyahu said to him, Shma no Hananya. You listen to me. If what you say doesn't come about, then for sure you are a false prophet, and there is no way that you cannot be discredited. And notice, and this is the genius of the Maharal. Says the Maharal, look please at the language of Chazal. Be medayek in every word. Chazal say on the question of Yaakov Avinu being afraid, Mikan she'ein havtocha latzadikim boilam hazeh. A havtocha is only as good as the person. Perush, Mipineiki ba'olam hazehim. And it is therefore, because it is given as a haftocha, it could very well be that the mekabel will not become deserving of it at the date when the haftocha was supposed to come into operation. So the crucial difference, as Maharal, is not between nevuah to a third party or nevuah between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Navi himself. The crucial difference is between when something is presented as nevuah and when something is presented as haftocha. It's a very, very subtle difference and an extremely important one. Now, what sort of measures does Yaakov Avinu take? Well, of course, he divides into two camps, Posuk Tes, Vayomer, Im Yavo Esav, El Hamachaneho Achas Vihikahu, if he will come to one camp and smite it, then the other camp will of course escape. Now, there is a bit of a problem here from a grammatical point of view, and that is, as Rashi points out, Machane Mishamish Lishon Zochor Lishon Nekeva. Machane seems to be both a masculine noun and a feminine noun. Hamachane Hoachas and Vahamachane Hanishor. Right? That's what Rashi says. Says the Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, something most interesting, and we'll have an opportunity, future Shiurim, to see that this is a cloud which he extends into other areas. He suggests that in reality, Machaneh can refer to two things. It can refer to the camp site, and it can refer to the people in the camp. If it refers to the campsite, which is part of the ground, it must be feminine, because Oretz and Adomo is feminine. If it refers to the people, then obviously she's Loshen Zohar, is in the masculine. Look how beautifully it works out. If he comes to the campsite of one, not that the campsite will escape, but the machaneh, the people who are in the machaneh will escape. I have to tell you, in discussion over Shabbos, my cousin added one nekuda, which he is amazed that Rabbi Yaakov left out. If the machaneh ho'achas refers to the campsite, and that's why it's feminine, and when you use the masculine, you refer to the people, we understand why it says, Vayomerim Yavoi Sovel Amachaneh Ho'achas, if he comes to the one campsite, Vehi Kohu, which is masculine. Because it's referring to the people. Right? If it was true to form, it should have been Vehi Amachaneh Ho'achas, Vehi Kohu, or whatever the appropriate prenominal suffix is for the feminine. But Vehi Kohu is going on the people. The machane of people, if he comes to the campsite of one and smites the camp, then the other camp will be to escape. Beautiful. Okay. Now we move on a little bit. It's a long siddur, the longest siddur in the book. And we come to a most fascinating essay, which I may have alluded to in the past, but you know we like to bring it inside so we can have a look and see what they say. The confrontation between Yaakov and the Malach, Yaakov and the angel. Whether it took place in a dream or whether it didn't take place in a dream, that's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, etc. But that's something we leave for another occasion. Vayayovik ish imo, peirik lamed beis, posik kafei. Yaakov was left alone. Vayayovik ish imo, ad alos hashocha. Okay. Now here, there is an essay, part of a famous essay from Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman, Zatzal. And he has a bit of a shaila, which he tackles in his own inimitable style. Why is this angel only wrestling with Yaakov? Never wrestled with Avraham Avinu, and never wrestled with Yitzchak. Left them both alone. But he tackled, he took on Yaakov Avinu. I mean, not a Jewish question. I mean, we would have asked, why did he annoy Yaakov? But he wants to know, why didn't he annoy Avraham and Yitzchak? B'tzorech lahavin b'mesha kosov in Kovitz Mamorim. B'mesha kosov b'yayovik ish imo, deho ish hu Samoel. The ish in question is the guardian angel of Yishmael, of Esav. The lomo himtin Samoel milil chomim Yaakov. Why did he wait for until Yaakov came on the scene to fight? He is already the third strand in the Ovos. How do we understand it? Says Rebbe Elchanan, Vihine Omru Chazal, in order to answer that, I direct your attention to a statement of Chazal regarding the causes of the Churban Habayis. Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to overlook Alavon Avodah Zorah Gilui Arayos V'Shvichas Domim, the three cardinal crimes in our faith, V'lo Viter Alavon Bittul Torah, but was not prepared to overlook the sin of having neglected the study of Torah, because the Pasuk says, why? Almahov Dohoretz Al Ozvom Es Torah Si, because they forsook the learning of my Torah. That has bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything else. Then we have to understand what it's all about. Do we genuinely believe that a person who doesn't open a Gemara is worse than a person who is involved in Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah? What's it all about? And on the contrary, on that pasuk, Al Ozvomes Torosi, say Chazal, Halavai, Osi, Ozavu, Vesorosi, Shamoru. Would that they had forsaken me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but retained my study of Torah. Vetam Hadover Nira, what's so crucial about Torah? It appears to be the following, says Rebelchon. Techisheshenei Tzidodim Lochmim. When you have two sides who are engaged in battle, Afilu im yihiyeh letzad echad nitzochon al chaveiro. Even if one side wins a battle, mikol mokom adayin lo nigmura hamelchoma. But that doesn't mean the war's over. You can lose a battle, but that doesn't mean you've lost the war. The efshe shehayom yenatzeach zeh, umocho yenatzeach chaveiro. Because I don't need to tell you, there's more than one battle in the war. Today you lose a battle, tomorrow you win a battle. So the fact that a person has had victory in one battle, but that's not all. It's not all over. Aval im ho echad tokaf mechavero es haklei zayin shahoya biyado. Vechavero nishar belo chilei zayin, bozeh nigmura hamelchoma, ki eif shalilchom belo chilei zayin. But if the enemy not only wins the battle, but manages to take away all the weapons from the other side, you can pull down the curtain. It's all over. Because how is he going to fight another battle? He doesn't have the weapons. So if the enemy, one side, manages not only to vanquish, but also to take away the weapons from the other side, then it's not just a battle that's been lost. The whole war is over. V'dugmas zeh b'milchemes hayetzer. And that is how it is in our fight with the Yetzer Hara. Asher HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hayid, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself testifies that Borosi Yetzer Hara, Borosi Lo Torah Tavlin, that having created the Yetzer Hara, I created the only weapon with which to fight it, and that is Torah. V'shum kilei zayin acher lo yitzlach neged HaYetzer Hara rak limud Torah, u'kemo sheherich mazeh b'misilis yishorim. Says Rabbi Elchanan, a person who succumbs to Gilead Royals, to Shvichas Domim, to Avodah Zarah, loses a battle. But if he has no Torah, he's lost the war. That's what it's all about. So it goes on to say as follows. The Yim Kain, Kishi Yisro El Heim B'Teile Milimut Torah. So when Jewish people, they have no longer expressed any interest in learning Torah. It's not the battle that's lost. It's the war. Ovdu hakli zayin shilohem, they've lost their weapons. Ve'yelohem b'amel ilchom imayetzah, they've got nothing with which to fight the Yetzer Hara. Ma'ashein keinim nichshilu b'shar avonus hafilu hayosech hamurim, which would not be the case where if they succumb temporarily to sin, even of the most severe variety, nevertheless, there's still hope. That through the medium of Torah, they might become aroused and do battle with the Yetzer Hara again, and this time in the Koach of Torah, vanquish him. And that is what Chazal meant when they said, and he began the mimer earlier on, Alavayo si ozavu bias Torah si shamaru, and it concludes shehamor sheba machziron lemutav, because the light in the Torah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am confident will bring them back and will enable them to renew the battle with the Yetzer Hara. So therefore, the Yetzer Hara is not really concerned with any one of the avos who depict the performance of wonderful mitzvahs. Abraham Avinu, famous for Gemilas Chasodim. Yitzchak Avinu, famous for Avoda. No. Jews who do Gemilas Chasodim and who are busy in Avoda, that's not the big threat to the Yetzer Hara. Aber Yaakov Ishtom Yoshev Elholim, Titein Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov is the symbol of Limud HaTorah. Yetzer Hara got no nachas from him at all. He's got to do battle with him. Because Yaakov Avinu typifies the Kli Melchamtos Shel Torah, the ideal and supreme weapon with which the Yetzer Hara will be vanquished. V'al kein ha-Yetzer Hara mischazik u'mis'amech levatel me'limut Torah yeser mikol mitzvos. Says Rav Elchanan, v'chein shomati mipeh kodosh Rabbeinu bal Chofetz Chaim. Rav Elchanan says, and I heard from the Chofetz Chaim, I just want to tell you that I met somebody who was a Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, an elderly gentleman. I met him at a Simcha in Yerushalayim during my stay there a few months ago. And I said to him, how come, in a joke, how come, I says, that Rav Elchanan was sitting in the same seats as you were at the foot of the Chofetz Chaim, and you became you, and Rav Elchanan became Rav Elchanan? Oh, it was during Kiddush, so it couldn't be taken personally. He said to me, this amazing act. He said to me, when the Chofetz Chaim ot yeret, Dr. Obi Chaim gehert. When the Chofetz Chaim spoke, I listened. When the Chofetz Chaim ot yeret, Dr. Rebbe Elchanan gehert. When the Chofetz Chaim spoke, Rebbe Elchanan trembled. That's the connection between Rebbe Elchanan and Chofetz Chaim. Dr. Elchanan gehert. So he says like this, what did the Chofetz Chaim say pertaining to our team, our theme? Dem Yetzirah artnit. It doesn't concern the Yetzirah. Ayid zol fasten und weinen und daven a ganzen Tag. Aber nicht lernen. As long as he doesn't learn. Even the Shul Shachas Milchamayev says the Yetzirah, I'll get him. He'll fast all day, all week, all years, up there. Not to worry, just a question of time. He's mine. Lo ichpat lo l'hayetzahara sheyehudi yis'ana v'yivka v'yispal el kulayim u'beravad shelo yilmut. Because the Yetzirah knows as soon as the Yid starts learning, his days are numbered. V'yadua, now we understand. Yavraham avidu, olav ha-shalom, hoya amud ha-chesed. V'yitzchol, hoya amud ha-avida. Aber v'yagol, hoya amud ha-torah. V'yalkei michulam lo hisam itza Yetzirah kolkat levatlon k'me v'yakov. Ki zesim in labonim. Because that's the reason why the Yetzirah tackles Yaakov, leaves the others alone. They're no threat. Chesed on its own is no threat. Avod on its own is no threat. Limutayr is a big problem for the Yetzirah. And that's a simen lebonim shekol ishtadlus a Yetzirah hi lahachshil es Yisrael bebitl teira. That's all the Yetzirah wants. Uchesuv shom now. He goes on then to say as follows, which is an interesting observation on the scene as it was then. You can make up your minds whether it's changed. He goes on to say, and he saw that he wasn't able for him, the Malach saw he wasn't able to prevail, so he hit him on his thigh. And everybody knows there are two perushim in this matter. Perush echad bekaf yorecho means, elu tamchin diyoraisim. He wasn't able to damage Yaakov, but he damaged his supporters, the machzikim. Ki acharei shara, shah talmud kocha, talmidei chachomim, lo yishmu liyatzos elevatli mitarosim. Because once he saw he couldn't prevail against Yaakov, who is the symbol of a talmud chacham, so what can he do? The only thing he can prevail against is those people who support them and allow them to learn free of material concerns and worries. So since he saw he couldn't be Mevatel Yaakov Avinu Mitarosai, is Chakim V'Holach Eitzel HaMachzikim V'Taymchim Eslem Z'Yatura Shelo Yachziku. He tried to prevail on them. V'Yemen Kemach Ein Torah, because if there's no Kemach, there's no Torah. V'Toka Kav Yerach Yaakov V'Heyo V'Koimo. And that was what was dislocated. Haynu Sheh HaMachzikim Shomu L'Kol HaYetzer U'Poskim L'Tek Mishimot T'michosam. He managed to prevail on those Balabatim who supported Talmidei Chachamim that they should not support, and in that matter he had success. He wounded him. The Talmidei Chachamim want to learn. They need support. The Yetzirah couldn't prevail against the Talmidei Chachamim to close the Gemaras, but he tries to prevail against those who support them in an effort that the Imen Kemach in Torah, and there he has had a modicum of success, says the Rebbe Elchanan. The Yeshod Perush, and there is another interpretation, Yerech Yaakov, Elu Tinoka Shel Beis Rabbah. The Yerech Yaakov is a symbol of that Aver, which is procreative, and it is a reference to the Jewish children. Shaholeich Li Avos HaTinokos, meaning that the Yetzirah now, he sees he can't prevail against the Talmidei Chachamim, so he goes to the fathers of young children, the Yom Elohim, and says to them, Eze Tachlis Tehei, Im Til Amadu Esmenechem Teirah. What sort of a Tachlis will send them to Yeshiva? What will be from them? Batlonim. As if a Talmud Chacham is Sugbet. Nowadays, which are the days preceding the coming of Mashiach. The two interpretations of Vateka Kaf Yerech Yaakov have been fulfilled. Because support for Torah institutions has almost ceased. And Jewish children in the main have no interest whatsoever in learning Torah. Whether, as I say, we want to tine that times have changed and the support for Torah has increased and the number of young people who are learning Torah has also increased, That's a different matter. Let me just, before we close this particular episode, let me just mention to you, again, Rav Kupperman, my cousin, was visiting, and his son Elimelech, who recently married, he has the big zechus to be meshamish of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Shlita, who is, after all, if not the Godel Hadar, one of the Gedolei Hadar. And Elimelech, his son, tells the story that Rav Shach comes to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman very often. And Rav Shach came, and Rav Shlomo Zalman is nechvul akelim, he's in Shari Chesed, he lives there quietly. People come to him and visit, but in the main he's not involved. Rav Shach came to him and told him about the 100,000 youngsters who went to this Michael Jackson concert. And they, two of them, sat in Rav Shlomo Zalman's room and cried like babies. Something extraordinary. What is happening today, the tragedy. And he said, Hatechen Adavorim Magiyim, I didn't mention it here, it's worthwhile mentioning. A letter to the people by left-wing intellectuals like A.B. Yehoshua and Amos Oz, who are not known for their devotion to the cause. It's a matter of record that A.B. Yehoshua was refused permission to speak to the children at JFS because he wouldn't put on a kippah. But I mention this advisedly. These are people who have now come out in a public letter to the Israeli people and have told them, A, that they've got to teach their young people the tenets of religious Zionism because without Torah we have no claim to the land. But more importantly, have told the Israeli authorities that you've got to teach your young people traditional values. Because if you don't teach them traditional values and teach them Shabbos and Kashrus and all the tenets of Yahadus, and if you leave the Israeli society as they are now, with the only gods that they have, and I quote their words, Madonna and McDonald's, if those are the only gods they have, then as soon as the peace plan comes into fruition, and the gates and the walls are broken down between Israel and the rest of the Middle East, they are youth who have more in common with the young people in Damascus and Cairo and Amman than they have with their brethren in Yerushalayim and Meyasholim v'chulei v'chulei. And they will be lost. And I'm not going to go into them. This is not a period for polemic. You know, not my style, certainly not in the Shiurim. Let me just tell you, according to them, the peace initiative and its fulfillment is not the fulfillment of the Zionist dream, it's the beginning of the Zionist nightmare. Because they've brought with them nothing, no Yesodos, army, and then a trip around the world where they stay. They've brought that to Eretz Yisrael, and today these are people who recognize that because they have given them Eretz Yisrael without any Torah, then they realize that they are fodder for the Yetzer Hara of which Rebbe Elchanan has spoken, and this is a matter of the gravest concern for them. And it will not suffice them merely to complain that they don't like the way Yerushalayim may go in the next couple of years or two. It'll be taken over by the non-Zionist ultra-Orthodox. People who live in Eretz Yisrael are non-Zionist. People who are outside, who send a check, they are Zionist. But anyway, that's also something worthwhile thinking about. So we leave that particular matter over for the moment. There's a few things that I've still got to do this evening. I'm hoping we'll manage to finish them. And that is, there is a fascinating Rashi, which I came across, and that is on Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Ches. When they finally meet, Vayomer, so Esav says, Mi lecho kol hamachane hazeh asher pogoshti. What is your intention with all these people whom I have met? Referring, of course, to the Malachim who came to Esav with gifts. Rashi. Mi lecho, mi kol hamachane asher pogoshti shehu shelecho, kolei malomu hulach. That's pshuta shel mikro, ne'emer al molichi amincha. Fine. In other words, why did you send me all these gifts with all these messages? Umidrasho, Medrash says Rashi, is that it is a reference not to the Malachim who brought the gifts, but rather, Kitos shel Malachim poga. He met groups of actual angels. Shehoyu dochefino so v'yesanoshov. Who started to aggressively attack them. These angels started to attack Esau and his men. And we're saying, who do you belong to? They said to these 400 people, V'heim omrim lohem shel Esav. We belong to Esav. V'heim omrim haku haku. Kill him. Smite. V'yelu omrim. And the 400 men said, no, don't smite Esav. V'no shel Yitzchoku. Is Yitzchok son? V'lo hoyo mashgichim olav. They took the notice of him. They wanted to kill Esav. So then the 400 men says, no, leave him alone. Then B'no shel Avram, who? He's Avram's an anical. V'lo hoyo mashgichim. They didn't want to take any notice. They want to kill him. Then if the 400 men says, no, leave him alone. Ochiv shel Yaakov, who? He's Jacob's brother. Is Omram Lehem, enemy shalano at him. Hey, you one of us? A fascinating Rashi here. Is Yitzchak's son? Kill him. Is the Avram's Einikel? Finish him off. Is Yaakov's brother? Wonderful. So what sort of mishpachology we got here? Yitzchak's son, no good. Avram's Einikel, no good. Yaakov's brother, wonderful. Most fascinating. Let's go back to Toledos. Perek Kafches. Pasuk Hey. End of Toledos. Something quite fascinating. Vayishlach Yitzchok es Yaakov, vayelech Padan Aram. Yitzchok sends Yaakov to Padan Aram. Elavon ben Besuel, O Arami, to Lavon the son of Besuel. Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka. Aim Yaakov v'Esav, the mother of Yaakov and Esav. Says Rashi, the famous words which we've looked at in the past. Eini yodea mamalam deinu. What's up? Aim Yaakov v'Esav. I don't know what it's all about. That's what Rashi says. Says the Chasam Sofer in Torah Moshe at the beginning of Parshas Toledos on another pasuk. There is a Gemara in Nidorim. The Gemara in Nidorim says as follows: if a person makes a vow that he is not going to have any benefit from Zera Avraham, from the seed of Abram, he can benefit from Goyim. What about Yishmael? Benefit from him too. Because Yishmael is not called Zera Avraham. Why? Because the pasuk says, Ki bi Yitzchok yikorei lechozora. Okay. Then there is a shayla amongst the Rishonim and Acharonim and Poskim. All right. Esau, what about him? He's also not Zera Avram, because it's Ki bi Yitzchok velo kol Yitzchok, which we mentioned last week. So Esau is certainly not Zera Avram, as is Yishmael not Zera Avram. Is Esau Zera Yitzchok? So the Rishonim, Acharonim, Poskim decide that he is not Zera Yitzchok either. Says the Chasam Sofer, Esau is not Zera Avram. Esav is not Zera Yitzchok. But the pasuk says, Aim Yaakov Yisav, because Esav is Zera Rivka. That's the Chiddush. May not be Zera Yitzchok, Zera Rivka. So with that Torah Moshe, look what happens. The Malachim want to kill Esav. And the men say, leave him alone. He's Yitzchok's son. No, he's not. Ki be Yitzchok veloko. He's not there. The poskim say he's not there. Yitzchok at all. Leave him alone. He's Avram's Einikel. No. Ki be Yitzchok yikorei lechozor veloko. Yitzchok is Yaakov. Is Avram's Einikel. Not Esav. Leave him alone. He's Yaakov's brother. Which he is. On the mother's side, they are brothers. Aim Yaakov be Esav. That's why Chazal say that the Malachim left them alone when they were told that he's Yaakov's brother, because there they are both Zera Rivka. That is why the pasuk in Devarim says, Atem ovrim b'gvul acheichem b'nei Esav hayoshevim b'seir. You are passing by your brothers b'nei Esav, says the Ramban. Yishmael is not called acheichem. So why is Esav called Acheichem? The answer is because Esav and Yaakov are brothers on the maternal side, or as I say in the classics, on the distaff side. That is why Esav can be called Acheichem b'nei Esav hayoshevim b'seir. Interestingly enough, when Yitzchok gave the bracha to Yaakov, which were given Ruach HaKodesh,
V'yishtachavu lecha b'nei yimecha. Not b'nei avicha. Because Esav is nishken ben avicha. It's b'nei yimecha. The reference was to Esav. Because even though he's not Zerah Yitzchak, but he's Zerah Rivka. So just a little aside in regard to that particular matter. What I want to do now, and I know we're going to go a little over our time, but we've already Xeroxed it, so let's have a look. And anyway, it's Rav Yaakov, and we have a special, I have a special place in my heart, as you know, for Rav Yaakov. And don't despair. The episode, you know, I'm not going to go into the details. We'll see how far we go b'chsav, then we'll be mashlim b'alpeh, we'll see. Says Rabbi Yaakov, V'sipur ha-teira b'inyan ma'is edina v'shechem ben chamor, yeshnom kama temios she'oleinu la'amod aleihen. There are a number of items in the story which we have to look at. In Pasuk Hey it says, V'yakov shoma ki timei shechem es dino bito, uvanov hoyu imikneo basodeh, v'hechrish Yaakov ad balom. Yaakov heard about the raping of Dina, and he was at home on his own, and he didn't say one word to anybody, he waited for his sons to come home. Madua himtid Yaakov, the shuvom shel bonov min asodeh, v'chilo hoyo hu yocho lanos lechamor eshchem beno, was he incapable of opening his mouth and saying whatever he wanted to say on his own? Hashem tzach? Why is he waiting for them to come home? Number two, what's the inyan here in the pasuk which is at the beginning of the whole comment when it says, v'yanu v'nei Yaakov, that when v'nei Yaakov came, they home, they answered those people, v'mirmo, with a certain amount of deceit, and by Yadabru, and they spoke, Asher Timeyes Dino Achosom, to the one who had defiled their sister Dina. Why do we need to say those words? Number three, Besofa Sipur, Liacha Shehorgu Shimon V'Levi Es Anshei Shechem, when Levi and Shimon killed the men of Shechem, Yaakov Avinu got angry on Shimon V'Levi, and he said, Acharta Mosila Havisheini. To which Shimon and Levi replied, Hakizono, Yases Achoseinu, are you going to treat our, have our sister treated as a harlot? Velo Motzinu she Yaakov Yan Elohim, Vechanire she Hiskimim Ta'anosom Haumnom, and Yaakov didn't reply. Does it mean he accepted what they said in their defense? And number four, and this is the most interesting point. Kishebnei Yaakov yoatzu li'anshei Shechem lihimol kasher heim nimolim. When the brothers suggested to the men of Shechem that they should circumcise themselves, Yaakov bevadai hevin. For sure Yaakov understood. Shein zeh b'mim. It's all a deception. Sharei boru hoyolo shebonov lo yischatnu im'anshei Shechem. Yaakov knew that his children had no interest in becoming involved matrimonially with the people of Shechem. So it's quite obvious that their intention, the intention of the sons in telling them to circumcise themselves, was only to deceive them, to weaken them. If that is the case, so we have to understand, Madua himtin Yaakov linzof al Shimon v'Levi ad liyachah shahorgu esan sheshchem, Madua lo micha behem kodem amaisa. He knew they were setting them up. So why didn't he step in already and say to them, no, don't circumcise yourselves. They only want you to circumcise yourselves so that they can take advantage of your weakened state and do you in. So he was part of the deception. See, if he was part of the deception, so why at the end of the day did he say, what did you do? Achatemosi, you've caused me trouble. You've got to wipe them out. So why did he allow them to suggest that they mouth themselves in the first place? It wasn't because Yaakov Avinu was convinced that his sons genuinely wanted there to be what they used to call in other circles a harmonious relationship between the two peoples and etiquette. Is kedei lehavines hayan hagaso shel Yaakov b'meuraze? In order to understand Yaakov Avinu's conduct in this matter, aleinu mikodem lehakiru lehavchin, we have to understand sheyeshnam shen sugei viofani han hagashonim. There are always two ways to approach a problem. V'shezeh talui b'metzias hamatzav asher bo nimtzo ha'adam. And that will depend on the situation in which you find yourself, right? Somebody once said, what's the difference between halacha and hashkafa? Halacha is what you do in certain situations, and hashkafa tells you what situations to be in the first place.
Okay.
All right. So now, there are two ways in which you can conduct yourself. Ahanhoga hapshuta v'hayeshola belishum ikul upitul is efshela chanosa b'shem machshov rishona. The first approach we called the direct approach, machshov rishona. B'matzavim regilim b'vaday al ha'odom linkot b'derech zu v'lo lo zuz mimeno. And if a person has the opportunity to choose, always choose the direct approach. The shortest distance between two points, a straight line does it. But on occasion, a person is in a situation where a direct approach will not apply. I mean, the politicians give that complaint all the time. Ula marshal, bismanshu also be his modus for his natchus im odom armumi o no chel. And befrat when you're dealing with a crook, a person who wants to do you harm, os muchrach gam huli his nahai bof and armumi. Then you've also got a deal in an indirect way, in order to obtain your objective. Hisnagus meyenze efshe lachanas b'shem machshov shniya. That we call a second approach. We call it the indirect approach. Okay. Now, kisheshchem v'chamor aviv bohu liyakov kidei lisa v'niteinimo al nesinosa shavdina liyedeihem uliyichud ben shnei ho'amim. When Shechem and Hamor came and proposed, after what he had done to Dinah, that they should unite and they should have a common national anthem, is Yoda Yaakov she'im anoshe misugom shel Shechem v'Hamor he efshel hisnag v'yefer machshov rishena. What are you going to do? I want my daughter back. Give her back immediately. It wouldn't have been of any value. That's the machshov rishena. That's the direct approach. But the end would certainly have not justified the means. You wouldn't have got anything. If he tried to scare them, the doresh b'tekifus, and to insist she yishachru as Dino, take it from Yad, that they release Dino immediately, lo hayom atzliach b'klal. You wouldn't have such been successful. Is lo kach menachal imasu amatnim anoshim isugum shel Shechem v'Chamor. You can't do business with people of this ilk of Shechem v'Chamor in that way. The indirect approach is the only approach, says Rabbi Yaakov. However, Avol Yaakov, let me just say it out and then we'll have a look in. It's very important. Two things. Yaakov Ovinu is Titein Emes Li Yaakov. Yaakov Ovinu is the symbol of Emes. He cannot be personally associated and involved with anything which is not Emes. So therefore, he has to keep quiet until the sons come home. He can tell them to suggest to Shechem and Hamor that they mal themselves. And his whole purpose in suggesting it is that he would then be able to tell his sons that now that Shechem and all the people are in their weakened state, now we can take Dino out. What didn't go according to Yaakov Avinu's plans was not only did they go in and in the weakened state take her out, but they left a lot of dead bodies behind at the same time. This is a most fascinating thesis. Avol Yaakov, he says, three lines in the bottom. B'tor ha-nitzig ha-na'aleh shel teiras o'emes bo'olam. Since this indirect approach contains matters which are not altogether truthful, the idea that they suggest that they mal, it wasn't made with the purposes that they suspected it was being made, as an opportunity to come together as one people. Is Tita Emes Liyakov, lo hoyo yochola harshos liyatzmo, lachrog mi gidro, ulihisnahegim shechem v'chamor v'yormo. It wasn't possible for Yaakov Avinu, the semel ho'emes, to be involved personally, but it has to be done. Had he been involved, Bishvil Yaakov Hoyeso Hisnagus Mienzu, Setio Chado, Mikolche Dorashvili made Espenay Doro, had Yaakov Avinu been known as the one from whose lips those words came out, which were proven to have been, to say the least, not the way they were perceived by Shechem and Hamor, namely the instruction to Mal, there would have been a Chilul Hashem. He had to keep quiet until his sons came home, because the only approach with Shechem and Hamor is the indirect approach, and the indirect approach, which contains an element which is not emes, cannot be done by Yaakov. Is therefore v'hechlish Yaakov ad bo'om. He has to wait until his sons come home, and to his sons he can indicate how it is possible to achieve their end. Omnam Livonov, Hoyo Yaakov, Yocholim Sor Han Hogamienzu. Kilifa Omim Biemes Sorachodam Lihisnag Biofen Machshovashnia. Because, as we know, on occasion, and this was Hezak Doma, it is imperative, not just advisable, imperative that you have an indirect approach with certain people, because otherwise you will not achieve your ends. As the Novi says, Im Ikesh Titapol. With the crooked, you have to be crooked. Only his own involvement would have been going a chilul Hashem. Since Yaakov saw that he couldn't say anything, not the direct approach, which wouldn't have been successful, and the indirect approach was one in which he himself could not be involved. Now, he then goes on to say as follows. The intention of Yaakov with the indirect approach was that's all he wanted them to circumcise for, so that they would be sufficiently weakened so that they would not be able to resist when the sons came into the city and took Dino out. That's all they want. But anything more, Kilomer Hachrovat Koloir, the wiping out of the city, Lohel or Yaakov Klalal Dato, Yaakov Avinu never even thought about, never entertained. Vilochain Kasher Shimon Vilevi Lokhu Ishharbo for Horugu is Kolan Shehoir, so that when Shimon and Levi took their swords and wiped the whole place out, Hoyo Yaakov Mufto Muchra Mipulosam, he was most upset and terrified for what they had done. That is why he got angry with them. And said to them, Achartemo, see, you have troubled me. Shita so, Hoyaso, because Yaakov's Shita was the Afshalafiya Matsav Hoyamutulahem Lihisnagibi Ophanamui, that even though deception is the order of the day, because without that you're not going to succeed against people of the type of Jechem and Vachamor. But there was no heter whatsoever to wipe out people. Take Dino and get out. Because Yaakov Avinu was known in the world, and his whole method of spreading Torah was emes and noam, truth and pleasantness. It's not for him. So if you want to know why Yaakov Avinu went along with the deception in the first place, because his idea was the deception was only to allow the brothers to go in with impunity and take Dino out, not that there should be war. And if you want to know why it says Asher Timeyes Dino Achosam, that it speaks about how they address Shechem and Hamor and says again Asher Timey, that, says Rabbi Yaakov, is an indication that the indirect approach is the only way, because Asher Timei, you're not dealing with ordinary people who conduct themselves mitzad hanipus. Let me just mention the closing sections, which is most beautiful. Says Rabbi Yaakov as follows. The brothers, in defense of what they've done, say, Hakazono ta'ase zachoseinu, shall you allow our sister to be treated like a harlot? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu does not reply at that moment, but he does reply. He has the last word. When does he reply? He replies on his deathbed. Shimon velevi achim, kelei chamos mechero sehem. Weapons of violence are their swords. He condemns them for their violence. It went beyond what was necessary and beyond what was acceptable. And gives them the following. Achalekein b'Yaakov v'afitzein b'Yisroel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. One pshat is that because they are men who can rise up to such violence, it's better that they be scattered around throughout Israel so that they are not united as one tribe, because who knows what they might get up to if they are all in one place. So therefore it is in everybody's interest, Achalekein b'Yaakov, afitzein b'Yisroel. Then Rabbi Yaakov says, but there's another pshat, Achalekein b'Yaakov, afitzein b'Yisroel. I'm going to make them into teachers. I'm going to make them into teachers? Or to beat the kids? Right? Because Rashi says there, the second pshat, that wherever you find Melamde Tinokos and Sofrim, Sheyelcho Meir Leir, Lesakin, Estashvit, etc., etc. What's the midah keneged midah? Says Rabbi Yaakov, only Rabbi Yaakov said. Teaching Torah can only be done successfully by people with passion. Teaching Torah is not 9 to 5. Can't be done. You've got to find people who have a passion for the subject. You cannot teach Shnayim Oichzim Betalis in the same way as you say that the angles of a triangle add up to 180 degrees. Can't be done. It's not informational. It's exhortational. It's inspirational. It's everything. Says Rabbi Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu saw that their passion can be turned to good use. Yoru mishpotecho liYaakov v'sirotcho liYisrael. Because in reality, to teach Torah, it is not sufficient to impart knowledge. One must inspire. And you only inspire when you yourself have got it. And I once linked through to this, to add to this, v'hoyu hadavorim ho'eile asher anochim etzavacho hayom al levavecha v'shinantom levonecha. Says Rav Moshe Alshech, the Alshech HaKadosh, if the words which I command you today are al levavecha, on your heart, then involve yourself in vishinantam, in teaching. If they're not al levavecha, they're in your head, but it's not on your heart, don't start the vishinantam business. It'll never succeed. Because vishinantam, it has to be a combination of moach olei. It's very, very important. Says Rav Yaakov, the statement Achalekein v'Yaakov afitzein v'Yisroel is not in the first pshat, it is an onesh. In the second pshat is Elo Kavonoso, his closing words, Elo Kavonoso haya limtzo ba'adam. On the contrary, according to the second pshat, Yaakov Avinu's intention was to find for them es asidom hamatim lohem, a future which is appropriate for them, Lefi kolchosom umersom, appropriate to their energies, their talents, and their emotion. It's a wonderful theme here. And of course, as we know, he speaks so much about teaching. Teaching has so much to do with passion. Not so much, I say, Chas v'Sholom, not that the information is not important, it's not incidental by any means, but the information has to be combined with inspiration. And when you have that, then there are chances of success.